Welcome to my office.
It's chaos today. Thanks for bearing with us.
Anyway.
It seems really exciting. Like the air in here, everyone's like smiling and bustling around.
Definitely. We have been looking forward to this moment for the last 3 years, and we are just so excited that it is finally getting off the ground.
So the first patient came in at 9 o'clock, but she didn't have her parental consent form. The office had it. She just hadn't brought it over. They had to scan it. What is this whole parental consent?
It's very important in Alaska and nationwide for minors to have parental consent to receive certain kinds of services for basic care. There are some conditions that minors do not need to have consent for, reproductive health, for instance, STI testing. But for most conditions that they come in for, they do need their parents' permission to be treated or even to be evaluated. So it's important for us as a healthcare organization to have that consent on file before we see them.
So basically, like, they don't need parental consent for STD test or pregnancy test or sexual health consultation?
That's correct, and that's an Alaska statute.
So Public Health's taking over that section. What is YKHC going to offer?
YKHC is here for essentially primary care and acute care. We are here primarily for well child sports physicals for teenagers. We can also treat minor conditions or complaints such as sore throats, coughs and colds, abdominal pain, that sort of thing. We have a small list of conditions that we're able to test for and treat here in the clinic itself. For anything that requires more evaluation or more extensive treatment, we would be referring them to the primary hospital at YKHC.
So what are those kind of things that can be treated here?
So we have the ability to test for and treat strep throat or other kinds of causes of sore throat, essentially viral infections. We can diagnose an upper respiratory infection, or if we have stronger concern for something more serious like pneumonia, we could recommend evaluation at the hospital.
Will behavioral health services be offered here?
That's definitely my hope, and that's part of the vision for this clinic. At the moment, for staffing reasons, because we wanted to start on a sustainable level, we are only planning to be here once every other week on Wednesdays at this time. This is the pediatric portion of the clinic, but it's been an incredible effort by LKSD to purchase, move, and furnish this building. And since it's a freestanding and permanent clinic space, we are hoping that the community will join efforts to make better use of it over time. And so we hope to include not just behavioral health services, but also dental and optometry services in the future.
And so how does the community play into making that happen?
We're partnering currently with the public health nurses who are offering some of their services here. We are hoping to work with the YKHC departments of behavioral health, dental, and optometry over time to see if they are able to help us staff this area. But we've also, back in the original planning days of this project, we had also reached out to Bethel Family Clinic and a couple of other organizations in town to see if they might be interested in partnering with us. So I think that'll be a longer term goal, but definitely something we want to keep in mind.
How is this funded?
Well, joint effort. So LKSD is primarily responsible for the building ownership, upkeep, maintenance. YKHC is essentially donating staff time, effort, and supplies for our section of the care that we provide, and then public health nursing brings their own supplies and their personnel as well.
Okay, so students, parents don't have to pay to use the clinic.
So right now, YKHC is not currently billing for services provided here. It has been my personal hope that we wouldn't need to, because I do think from an access to care standpoint, it would be great if any student were able to come and receive services without having their parents worry about ability to pay. I think eventually YKHC may plan to bill, but I am not privy to the details of that arrangement.
And so is it just students, just BRHS students who can use the clinic?
The focus right now is as a student health center, or specifically a teen health center for the junior high and high school students. So right now we're targeting the 7th through 12th graders, who traditionally are a population that has decreased access to care or a decreased willingness to seek care. So part of the goal of this clinic is to make a safe space for them to come and ask for care that they otherwise might be reluctant to seek out. As far as expanding services to other populations, that is going to need to be a discussion between LKSD, YKHC, providers, and administration.
Are there any other patients scheduled for today?
Other than the one that we just had walk in. No, we wanted to start kind of slow and make sure that we got all the kinks worked out before we opened the floodgates, so to speak. We're still mapping out a couple of our flow processes, but we're hoping that by the end of today or tomorrow, we'll have things set in a way that allows us to see more patients in the coming weeks.
And so what if a kid comes in and is sick and the parents can't be reached, but they're here? Would care still be provided, or would have to wait for the parental consent?
So the parental consent actually went out with school paperwork earlier this week, I believe. And so students have been bringing back the consents, which do allow for them to receive care over the course of this coming school year. So as long as the consent has been received at some point, they are able to come in at any time during the school year for care. If consent has not been provided by the parent and the student is seeking treatment for a condition that is not covered under the Alaska statute for minors' ability to consent for themselves, then we would have to essentially determine whether the condition was of an emergency nature or not in order to determine whether we could provide treatment.
What kind of medication will be offered?
We have some very, very basic medications here, your standard Tylenol and ibuprofen for fever or aches and pains. We have some Benadryl. We have albuterol and saline nebulizer treatments for asthmatics or kids who might come in with breathing problems. We do have injectable penicillin for treatment of strep throat. We have a couple other basic antibiotics just in case, and we do have EpiPens here for major emergencies.
And then if a student needs to get out of class, do you know how that's working with the office?
Yeah, so we basically have two workflows mapped out for that. The first is students who have pre-existing appointments with us that were scheduled ahead of time. So the plan is for our staff to meet with the school staff first thing in the morning to make sure that we both understand which patients or which students have pre-existing appointments and should be released from class at the designated time to come here. And then the second workflow is for walk-ins, essentially students who came in feeling fine and then developed a condition later in the day that they are seeking treatment for. In that case, the students are asked to report to the front office where the secretary can call over and determine our next availability and then hopefully send the student back to class until our next availability, which also hopefully won't be longer than about half an hour or an hour from the time that the student presents. The advantage to having the clinic on site is that we can minimize disruptions to the student's school days. So as long as they aren't extremely ill, we're hoping to minimize that interruption.
You mentioned that this age range that's being targeted, middle to high school, is kind of where medical access or treatment sort of starts tapering off. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So as a pediatrician, obviously, I see kids of all ages from birth to 18 years and sometimes a little bit older. In the early years, kids come to see us quite frequently because the well child schedule between 0 and 3 years is actually pretty intensive. We see kids every couple of months for a while, then every 3 months for a while, then every 6 months for a while. After they start preschool, the schedule tapers off so that we only really see them once a year unless they're coming in intermittently for sick visits. Traditionally, adolescents, high schoolers, unless they're doing sports and needing to qualify or have a pre-screening school physical once a year, they don't necessarily come in just for routine well child. So a lot of these kids, once they get a little bit older, if they're generally healthy, they tend to fall off our radar. So we don't have as many opportunities to talk to them about preventive medicine or ways to keep themselves healthy. And so we're hoping that this clinic provides a way for us to do that.
And is it going to kind of be a rotating cast of providers here? Is it going to be the same people that students can form relationships with?
I'm definitely hoping the latter. There will be a little bit of rotation, although we don't have so many providers at YKHC that there will be a limitless number of new faces. And I am certainly hoping, you know, as a pediatrician who loves this community, to be one of the primary providers here.
And what's been the reaction so far? Community, school, parents, students?
Overwhelmingly positive. You know, one of the most rewarding aspects of working on this project over the last few years has been to see just the level of enthusiasm and support that everyone has given to this project. And that's been really apparent in meetings we've had both internally at YKHC to the top levels of administration, to inter-organizational meetings we've had with the public health nurses and lots of members of the school district and parents and teachers.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.